Just a thought. We are living in a time when all hands have to be on deck. We have to be prepared and ready to fight against forces seeking to return us to a time when America was not for everyone. We must speak for ourselves while delivering a clear message to the world. No longer can we focus on just our own individual success. Those of us that have found or created a path must use every vehicle available to us to help others see the light. We must inspire those who are lost and demoralized. We must find a way to speak to each other while expressing our own opinions. People of color must use the internet to expand our reach beyond our communities and find solutions to the issues that plague our neighborhoods. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections need you to schedule some time to share your opinions on live radio. My show wants you to carry your message beyond just a few city blocks. We want you to know that your personal issues and economic concerns and life beliefs are important to the world. I am the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, James C. Deshay, and we want you to be a part of this new movement. We want you to be ready and prepared to share your opinions with everyone throughout our hour and a half long show, 7 days a week. Please call into the show every day, 657-383-0309, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Your voice needs to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. We must raise sand in a way that serves notice. A movement is coming. White America will share the bounty that is created from the investment of the past, present, and future from this day forth. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, and I look forward to you calling into the show every day.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no different second when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get quick.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm proud and glad to be here with you, and given this opportunity for us to have an opportunity to sit down and share our voices and talk about the things that impact the world, not only today, but in the future. We're going to, as always, take a short break here in the very beginning of the show, get everybody an opportunity to get on, and then we're going to move forward and talk about the things that we need to discuss that are going on in our world today.
And made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again. Before the good is gone, baby, I won't turn my head in sorrow if you should go away. I'll stand here and remember just how good it's been. And I know I'll never love this way again.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Family, how y'all doing tonight?
All right. And Kathy, I did it in that order because D usually is very prompt, and then you come in about second. So it's interesting that the East Coast comes in first and then the West Coast and then all the other guys come following in after that. We had a long conversation yesterday when it was only the three of us. I hope it is more people get the calling in today. Guys, what I wanted to talk about is the word unhinged. I want to use to talk about being unhinged. I want to talk about being the statement where they talk about being over your head. And I think both of these terms are terms that could be used to describe Donald Trump. You know, I was so prepared and willing to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. You know, he came out and we talked about his Tuesday presentation and how he wasn't the normal Donald Trump. He sounded presidential. He sounded like someone who was truly prepared to make the turn and do what was best for the country. And before we can get to Sunday, the beginning of a new week, we hear that Donald Trump is accusing President Obama, the former president, of wiring his Trump powers. Now, I just want to just talk about this because, you know, and there's some other things I'd like to talk about too. I don't know if we'll get to both of them. But how can you make such a statement and not be willing to back it up by sharing proof of the statement and recognizing that wiretaps has to be approved by judges, and those approvals have to be given based on you submitting evidence that suggests that somebody's doing something they should not be doing. or is he suggesting that Barack Obama did something criminal on his way out of office? I mean, why would you do something criminal on your way out of office? What are your thoughts about him leveling these crazy accusations?
Well, Dane, first of all, let me crack my knuckles, buddy. Because anytime I talk about the Donald, I have to take a deep breath. All right. Here's the issue. Two things. But first thing, let me say the first thing first, because this is most important. What he's doing, he's causing distractions because he has no policies. He has no structure to implement the policies that he promised during the campaign. He has none. You know, when he was asked, how are you going to do this and how are you going to do that, and what is your plan and what are your policies, and when are you going to show your income tax and stuff like that, he always said things. He gave you smoke screens. He always said, just believe me, it's going to be beautiful. You're going to love it, you know. And so what they call that in politics is they call that the dog. I'm sorry. They call that the tail wagging the dog. Because if you ever saw the tail wag the dog, that would be quite sensational. You would be saying, damn, how did he do that? How is that possible? So that's a major distraction. And all the crooked folks in politics call that the tail wagging the dog. And so he's going to continue to do things like this all the way up into his impeachment because he has no policies. And, you know, he got the strong 42-47% of people, of followers. So they will back him to the wall, and they will antagonize any given situation to be had with the help of Sean Hannity. They always going to stand him in the corner. They always going to stand by him. They always going to blame Obama and the Clintons for everything. Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity made a living off the Clintons. Even when Bill was way out of office, it was every day the Clinton this and the Clinton that. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Thanks, buddy.
Kathy, you know, I had to share and bring this up today because if you accuse your neighbor of doing something illegal, wouldn't you have to have some facts to back that up? And we're talking about somebody who is a lot more important than your neighbor, and you're going to put out there in the airways that a former president on getting ready to leave their office is going to do something illegal as do a wiretap of a public building out being given permission by a judge. What is your thought about him making that statement and not sharing the proof?
Well, as you know, Mr. Deshaies, good afternoon to you and Brother D. This is not my expertise of topics, but I will say this. I will say that if he's accusing him of doing anything, he must have proof in order for him to say that. And if there is proof, then he needs to bring it forth to the people so that everybody can see and know. And, hey, my thing is we just have to pray for him. You know, it's just like when you get a doggy. When you first get a dog, you have to train them. You know, don't pee on the rug. This is your spot right here. But, you know, the dog continues to go into other spots until he's fully trained. You know, this is a training process that we're going through with him. I mean, I know the analogy is not what some people probably think it should be. But this is what I'm using, that, you know, he's been in there, he's been doing different things, but he's in training. He wasn't built to hold this position, you know. So his filters are not on. He don't have filters. So he say what he wants. He basically do what he wants, and there's no one there to stop him. So this is just another act of him going on the carpet and using the bathroom, but he is going to get in trouble about it, because if he doesn't have any proof, then the people are going to go after him about it. Again, it's not my expertise of topics. I don't listen to it, you know, but when I listen to you guys, it does give me a little bit more education about it. But my thing is I just have to keep praying for him.
Jane, can I say something?
Let me just go ahead,
Jane. Real quick, Jane. You ask Kathy, when your neighbor says something about you, don't they have to have some kind of proof to prove their case? Usually they do, but when they accuse you of something to everybody else that hates you, you don't need no proof, because they hate you anyway.
And it depends on what color you are too. So
That's the point I'm making. Thank you.
Well, let me tell you guys, I tweeted, you know, and I'm getting as bad as President Donald Trump. I tweet several times a day. I go on liking and post, and I post on Facebook. And I posted today, white America, it's time for you to get scared. And the reason why I selected white America, it's time for you to get scared, is this. When a person comes out of the box pointing a finger at someone else about them wiretapping them, people don't wiretap you if you ain't got something that you might say that might get you in trouble. So the fact that the president, or the former president, or the FBI, or any other government or organization that might be involved in wiretapping Donald Trump, they didn't do it just off the top of their head. So if, in fact, someone got permission from a judge to wiretap Donald Trump, obviously there was something going on, and white America need to be afraid about what may be coming down the road. And when we keep hearing about these people talking to these Russians over and over and over again, this story seems like it's not going away, that somebody knows something, and somebody's going to be pressured to say something. And before we know it, this thing is going to explode. And so I think Donald Trump came out of the blocks pointing at Barack Obama, thinking that somehow or another, if he pointed him and accused him of some wild accusation, that it may alleviate some of the pressure that's coming up down the road. Indeed, that's what I believe. I believe there is something. I'm telling you, these reporters and these people out there that take a lot of pride in watching our government, when you give them a bone, they are not going to let go until they create some flesh on that bone. And I believe, you know, I keep trying to get to the point where I give Donald Trump a chance. But I believe he may very well be out of there in less than a year. And that kind of follows up with what you were saying all along, D, that you believe he's going to get impeached.
Yeah, James, it's going to be a little, the road's going to be rough. I would like to somehow warn against including actually tagging white America that they need to be afraid. Because let me tell you, this group is already trigger happy. This group is already geared up for militia activities. That's why they're buying all these weapons. That's why they've always bought them. They stockpile weapons. They stockpile bomb-making materials, the Timothy McVeigh syndrome. And so, you have to be kind of cool with the rhetoric to point the finger, because their temperament, and who cares anything about it, but you know, the animalistic nature of them, I'm gonna go ahead and say it, don't give them the rationale to evaluate the message that you're trying to convey. Anything that you may say to them, and they can tell by your tone that you're black. So it may have a tendency to antagonize the militia against unarmed citizens, especially black citizens that walk the world, the earth every day in faith of God, and so therefore they don't need a weapon. But these folks got weapons everywhere. They got new holsters now. They will conceal the weapon deep in their pants, and all they got to do is pull the strap, and it pops out. And they follow stuff like that. They love that stuff. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry. The ones that I focus on, I point this towards, are those white Americans who thought they could control Donald Trump, the ones who very well thought that there was a way to keep him protected by surrounding him with people who they said were smart people, that somehow he would use those people and be advised by those people. And I'm saying to you that it is difficult. You know, we have religious beliefs, and Kathy, you can always, you know, I know you can speak about the religion from the religious standpoint. When they talk about it be harder for a rich man to get in heaven than to go through it would be harder to go for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, I think it was, than to get to heaven. Did I say it right? Which way is it?
Yes.
But anyway, Donald Trump is gone after money, hook or crook, for the majority of his life. And it's hard for a person to change their behavior when it comes to switching over. And in the government, you cannot be someone who is after the dollar. You have to go after the welfare of the people. And his makeup is not that tight. And I heard earlier today that Russia represents billions and billions of dollars of contracts that have been denied Americans because of some of the restrictions that have been placed on Americans related to dealing with Russia. And very well, Trump may be looking to, as well as some of the other people he got on his cabinet, looking at opening those treasures up so that businessmen can get in there and get that money. And so I'm saying to you that sometimes you have people who are so focused on money that they cannot see the trap wires that are around them related to the government wires that they'll stumble over it getting to that money or trying to get to that money. And so to me, I'm not surprised that there is a lot of money for businesses to get gained if someone is willing to open up those markets in Russia. So I'm looking to see how all this plays out. So when I say white America, I'm talking to those people who thought they could very well somehow protect Donald Trump from himself. And I think that they're already running into a problem trying to protect him because he is bent on doing things his own way, and he's going to trip over some of these wires. D?
Thank you, James. You know, you're dead on right. You're dead on right. And this is what has puzzled me from the very beginning. I have to take my time to express this because it really burns me. Why? People could not see the forest for the trees. Like you said, from the very, very beginning, when Donald Trump went on the stage with the other 19 prominent, well-mannered politicians on that stage, professional politicians as they were, and showed his true character, I don't understand why anybody thought that his stripes were going to change. Because, you know, and I've always said, you know, when you watch a lot of these movies, the espionage movies, the collateral damage kind of movies, where it don't take a lot of people to start a war in a country for a specific cause to obtain, and he's already said it, the spoils of that country, the victor get everything. He said that. Now, why they didn't hold his feet to the fire for saying something like that in the first place is beyond me. Because now I've said from the very jump street that what he's going to do, if he ever got in office, and he has, he's going to use all the levers of government to take what he wants. And the question can always be asked, well, you can't do that. And the answer to that question is, yes, I can. I'm the president. Now, regardless of the repercussions in doing so, it don't matter after the situation has been done. I heard on NPR Thursday some experts that know the intricacies of this diplomat that everybody has been conversing with. He's a diplomat / spy, supposedly. Now, the thing about it is that Putin, a former KGB agent, is a true Russian from the old Soviet Union. And so when the Clintons cut the legs out from under him, he has a vendetta against them. All right. The whole point was to discredit Hillary going in thinking that she was going to win anyway. The Russians did not know that Donald was going to win. They were just trying to discredit Hillary by the email taps and all of that. Now that he's won, they want to take a step back a little bit and say, whoa, this he got all kind of things going on where it's going to drag them down in the mud. So it's almost like a case of when you invite the ugly girl to the prom and you promise to be with her, and then you find somebody that you want to be with and you leave her standing alone, it's like Carrie. Now, when Donald finds out that the Russians going to wash their hands of him, he's going to be a little pissed for all the things that they had planned to do together that he wanted to do with their help. Thanks.
Joyce, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, how you doing? Hi, everybody. Sorry that I'm a little late.
No problem, Joyce. Joyce, let me ask you, what were your thoughts when you first heard President Trump level these charges against Barack Obama related to him wiretapping Trump Tower? What were your immediate thoughts why would he say such a thing?
Because he's trying to divert his attention from them further investigating him and finding out that he is in bed with the Russians. So you would, that's another diverter. He'd been doing it all along.
And you're so right. And he seems to be creating a situation that's not going to work out for him, because he's not going to just be able to take that back. He's going to, now people are going to press him to show evidence. And so how in the world is he going to show evidence of something that, why would the president even be interested in doing something illegal just before he leaves office? It's not like he's going to be able to get more time. And so it doesn't even make sense. And if he legally did it, or if the FBI legally did it, what was their what was the thing that allowed them to get a judge's consent to do wiretaps? So either way, some information is going to come out that is not going to be in his favor.
Exactly. I think what happened is that there were some evidence. It wasn't wiretapping, but they wasn't wiretapping Donald Trump. They was wiretapping Russia. But then while wiretapping Russia, they found out who American was in bed with the Russians. And also his son-in-law is another one. He's coming up next. Believe me, watch that next week. And what he's trying to do is discredit Obama and try to say that Obama was wiretapping his phone, but he wasn't wiretapping Trump. They were wiretapping, and that's natural for them to do that for spies. So he just, it's just coming out, it's seeping out slowly. He knows that he is doomed, and it's like a freight train. You can't stop it. He's trying to slow it down, but, hey, that train is moving, and that's what's going to happen to him. They finding him out slowly, slowly, and eventually what's going to come out next, he's going to have to show his taxes, and that's going to be the telltale. That's going to show just how deep he's in bed with Russia. It's coming.
And I think you're so right. I think that whatever is going on, whatever they're being slowly divulging, is something that is huge. And it is going to, he very well may need Pence what do they call it when you, in order to keep him out of jail, Pence may have to not allow them to prosecute him. If this keeps going in this direction,
all right. Mean giving them immunity.
Let's take a break,
yeah,
and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. Just you and me. So
many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can please. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers, some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, then I just wish that you would, cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby, practice what you preach. Is it?
Chief, and he was supposedly deported more people than any other president up to his time, but he did it in a way that was respectful, and he focused on the criminal element that was in the United States. And I just want to get your opinion or your feeling about how it seems that Donald Trump, in every fashion, wants to do things in a way that it just seems so inhumane, breaking up families. One story came out today where a father was taking his child to school and he got arrested. Then when the child spoke out about the behavior of the government, they arrested the child and get ready to deport the child because it took her too long to raise $500. And now they want to start splitting up families. When they come across the border, they want to split up parents from their children. I mean, it just seems like he wants to just be as cruel as possible as they go through their process to send people back to their designated countries. Kathy, what is your thought about what you've been hearing about the inhumane way that people are being sent back to their original country?
This is not my expertise of opinion, Dave, so I'm just listening to you guys as you talk
okay.
about it, and I'm gathering information from there. Hi, Dave.
All right, Kathy, I just don't want to leave you out. I just want you to know you still, I still call on you because I don't want you to think I'm leaving you out.
No
Hi,
problem.
Kathy. It sounds like you're still sick, too. Hope
yes.
you get better.
Thank you.
All right, Regina, you just chimed in. What is your thoughts about the way that these people are being gathered up and sent back home, people being picked up as they drop their children off to school?
I'm wondering how.
Are they, like, staking out the people and I'm just wondering, how do they know that that particular person is illegal? I mean, are they racial Are they doing racial profiling? How do they get an eye on that particular person?
I think these people are already on their radar. They are aware of this person, and you know, either that he's been called in by some agency, or possibly even the school. I'm not sure where they're getting the information from, but they are using this government or agency organizations as a deportation force, and that's what their job is to locate and find people who are illegal and send them back. And they're finding these people, taking their children to school, and in some cases, one of the girls that was had the right to stay here because she was a dreamer, but she had trouble raising the $500 that was necessary to make it legal for her. And because she missed the deadline, she now doesn't even have to go before a judge. And so I'm just saying that it seems to be he is bent on sending back people no matter who they are or how they got here. He initially said he was going to focus on people who were doing illegal things, but he seems like everybody is open for this kind of abuse.
The
program also, it fell under Obama's program too, but he did not make it his business to go after people who was not at risk as far as being harmed to the country. But these people that they're going around picking up, they're ones that had to report every year their status because they were into the country illegal.
Okay, well, as Kathy said, this is not my area of expertise yet, because I have spoken with our school board members and our superintendent in our district, because it does concern me greatly, because as I've said before, we have children from 17 different countries, 26 different languages. And every day we're having families coming in, 3, 4, and 5 children at a time from various countries. And my concern is the anxiety that it causes with the children, with the innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to do my research and speak to our solicitor here in Richland County and ask him what is it and how is it that this is supposed to be done? Because from the way James just explained it, they can actually come to the school and remove a parent as the parent is coming up to the school. I do the car ride duty and the walk-ups. So that really concerns me, because a lot of those parents walk up and get their children. And I would hate for something like that to happen when we have so many other parents and children around. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really going to investigate that and see if there is some sort of protocol that they should follow. So maybe by some point next week I'll be able to give you all some better answers. But this is really concerning me. I contacted our school board last week.
And I appreciate that, Regina, because it's important that we don't devastate these children by trying to find a solution to this problem. And I don't think that if you know where these people live, it would be a lot less damaging if you arrived at their house, then they just scoop them off the street. And so it's important to figure out why we are acting in this manner.
I appreciate you all bringing this up. And one thing I have noticed is Muslim children, I've noticed this last week, they started walking with their heads down.
Mm-hmm. Usually they would look up at me and have the biggest, beautiful smile with their beautiful eyes. And I would just, they would hug me. In fact, one little boy hugged me, and I had to ask him. I said, now, aren't you Muslim? And he said, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, you're not supposed to touch me. He said, well, I hug my mama, and Ms. Williams, I'm going to hug you. But now they're holding their heads down. That is very concerning to me.
James,
I'm
I got something for you.
All right. Go ahead, G.
Okay. Regina and everybody, you should be concerned. Because here's the problem. You know, James, when you opened up this segment of our talk, you spoke about how President Obama did things differently. With dignity and class, and that's how he held that office. But here's the danger now, and here's the danger that we're facing. Did you all ever see the movie Gladiator, where the disgruntled king could not stand the man that was the gladiator? He was the people's choice. And he could not stand that. And in that, he took his wrath out on the people. So the fact that President Obama has a high approval rating going out, and historians are going to show that he's going to be one of the most popular presidents ever. Bill Clinton couldn't stand that. Bill Clinton thought he was the first black president.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got that honor, when the real first black president came into town and held that office with honor, he couldn't stand it. So now that Donald Trump, every time he turns around, he hears how President Obama ratings are still good. You know, Donald Trump got issues.
Yes,
and so what? So now what we gonna be faced with? And I'm sorry to say, because I hate to sound like the doom and gloom guy, but what we're going to be faced with is a police state. When it comes down to our Mexican brothers and sisters, what's happening is they're being treated just like the Jews was treated by Nazi Germany. Same thing. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I never wanted to talk about this because Ms. Kathy kept me straight. But whenever we get back on this subject, you have to tell the truth of what it is, because that guy got issues, and his followers still back him to the wall. Now that is something I just don't understand. How can somebody be so ruthless and cold-hearted and not care about nobody else but themselves? So,
amen.
This is where we are. Thanks.
When you think back over this situation and see when the head sends out the message becomes stronger, louder, and more even more violent, because you're getting it down to some of those people who are true racists. And so those people were being held back by Barack Obama are not told to do whatever they can, whenever they can, however they can, and don't worry about who you do it in front of, where you do it in front of, because we're going to protect you. So you got these young men who are on this force to get these illegal aliens, and they are willing to do it in front of the school, out on the street, and doing it in the most embarrassing ways, sending young children back to the country because they're arguing about the freedom of their parents, and then talking about what they're going to do is split the kids up when they come across the border, sending parents a message that if you bring your kids here, we're going to be splitting you up and splitting up families. Now, who has a policy of splitting up families. Now, how cruel is that to be out there splitting up families and children from their mothers? That just seems just inhumane to me. Joyce, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And here in Arizona, you know, it's not only to the Somalis, but particularly to the Mexicans here. And a lot of them have gone underground. A lot of people are going to be doing that too, especially the people with families. But I thought that was so disrespectful, so disgraceful, and it was so traumatic for all the other kids to see that. No different than behind me, my neighbor, when she had that chain around Hillary Clinton's neck with black and white jail stripe suits on. Those people had to explain to their kids when they was walking them to school, what did that mean? When I was walking my dog, I could not believe it. You know, it's ridiculous. They have no respect. He has opened up a can of worms. That's what he calls draining the swamp. He's bringing out all the crazies for them to do what they're doing, and it's just disrespectful. It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you all another thing that happens that's an offshoot of what's going on. One of our little Muslim children was around the corner, was on my hall where my office is using the restroom, and I didn't think anything of it, really, and I started walking back to where an assembly was going on, and he was walking with me, and he said, he explained to me, I use this bathroom because so-and-so said if he caught me in the other, he would kill me.
Mm.
And I said, I said, what? And I said, okay, don't worry. I said, let's go on back in. And then I reported it to his teacher, and then they, you know, rolled it on up and took it to the principal. But when the boy's father came in, he was so upset because the boy was a little black boy who told the Muslim child this. And that father, I could see the fire in his eyes. And they explained to the father that he needed to sit down and have a discussion with his son and not, you know, just beat him. But really talk to him. So these children are going to take on these, they're going to think what they're doing is right. And they're too young to have background knowledge.
When you create that anger at the top, or you create that rhetoric, it is those people down at the bottom who before were kept in check who now think they got the freedom to speak out. Regina, you weren't here. I don't think you heard me talk about that a white neighbor went and put a racist note on the car of a black female. And when that black female read that note, she went over and to confront the woman who put the note on her car. And then because she refused to come out and fight, the girl started breaking the windows in the white female's house. Well, you're going to have more and more people who go out and confront people with their racist beliefs, thinking that it's okay now for them to do that, but it's going to cause a lot of problems because there are some people who are not going to be passive once you display your racist beliefs. And I'm not sure if you know this, but in outside of Atlanta, I think it was after President Donald Trump had gone on all his shows and displaying his ugliness, this couple put these flags in their truck and was driving around going to the park and yelling out racist things at the different people in the park. And they got sentenced the other day, and the girl got sentenced to like 6 or 7 years, and the boy got sentenced to 10 because he pointed a gun at some of the people at the park. And so
and they were having a birthday party.
And they were in the courtroom crying about this. This wasn't who I was. Well, it was who you were that day, and now you want us to have sympathy and empathy for you because you chose to terrorize people. And so now people need to be careful. I have to tell you, I felt a little sorry for them, and they didn't shoot at anybody, but they terrorized those young kids, and now they're looking at serious jail time.
At a party, yeah, they were having a birthday party. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Was that in the Atlanta area or was that in South Carolina? I can't remember where it was. I thought I read it was in Atlanta.
I think it was outside of Atlanta somewhere. But during the Trump, I think it was after he was nominated that he was going to be the conservative pick. There was Klansmen, not in garments, but they was trying to recruit down at Piedmont Park, which is downtown Atlanta. And now, the day after that, are you ready for this? They found a man hung in the park.
Ooh.
2016.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah.
Now,
yes.
The
and they tried to say that he committed suicide, right?
Well, they did, and the only reason that could be possible is because of the tree and how low the branch was to the ground. So it could have been a suicide to where, you know, unfortunately, I saw somebody do that on YouTube one day, on Facebook, where he hung himself by the doorknob, and he put it on Facebook as he was doing it. He's a white guy. So this tree wasn't a tall tree. It was a small tree, and from the looks of it, it was very, very low to the ground where he could have strangled himself by just sitting down and hanging himself. But to your point though, James, look, I'm down here in South Georgia, and you got to know that Billy Bob down here in South Georgia acting the fool. Then they pick up a truck with all that diesel smoke, and I'm telling you, they driving them around like they want somebody to step off the curb at the wrong time. And again, like we were talking about the stand your ground law. If you care to confront them, which most black people will, you got to be careful because they can shoot you. And then, like we said, the laws are in place to protect them from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the kind of guy who talks like this. I'm not the kind of guy that talks like this. I want to believe that we have arrived to a better space and time. But you can look at John Lewis' face and tell that he is not happy where things are going. So, and he's from this area. So, I think he's from Alabama.
Well,
but go ahead. I'm sorry.
As you all have said, it's just filtering down, y'all. And it hit me smack in the face last week when I had to go in and wonder why some of my children were not making some gains in a particular area. And then I found out that there was a rift between the teacher and the instructional assistant in the classroom. And when I spoke with both people, I found out, well, I was told that, she has been disrespectful to me ever since she found out that I voted for Trump. And then I found out from the other person that she had reported that the person who voted for Trump was not treating some of the immigrant children in a way that she should treat them. And I have been so afraid that I never thought it would get to this point that it would hit me in the face, that where I had to to actually get in there and mediate and confront all of these biases. But it is all the way down, and it's affecting folks' jobs. There's rifts and fusses and arguments on jobs. I'm just seeing it right here. And can you imagine the straight face I had to keep when the white woman said that she was upset, that the other person was upset because she voted for Trump? I tried not to laugh. I did smirk, but I've got to be fair. So my question was, well, how does she know you voted for Trump? What type of conversation? What did this have to do with reading?
Well,
what are y'all talking about in here?
I challenge you guys to think about this. 10 or 15 years ago or so, you had these little small Denny's restaurants that were getting in a lot of trouble because the waitresses were mistreating people of color. And
that's right.
I'm going to tell you, I believe that's going to be on the uprise again. Because when you go down again to the levels of where people are not well educated, where their biases become even more nasty. See, when you're dealing with an educated racist, he's going to try to use the system to display his racist behavior. So it's going to be hard for you to look through all those records and papers and see what he did and what he checked to get you to deny you the loan or deny you the opportunity to buy property to steer you to a higher interest rate. It's going to be hard to identify that. But when you're down there in the trenches with people who are not well educated or versed, their behaviors are going to display their racism. When they don't come to your table and give, don't feel your teeth, when they wait on everybody else and you last, or they make little snide comments to you, this is when you're going to see the ugly side of America on the lowest level raise their head.
James, can you imagine the process of trying to heal behind all this once this is all over? How lengthy could that be? The healing process again.
Gee, I think first of all they're going to have to reestablish those laws that he's trying to and his Republican cronies are trying to take away. They're going to have to reestablish those protective laws that they're taking away first. Then they've got to move forward. Every day there are more and more laws that are going through Congress that are trying to eradicate laws that are already in place every day.
And Lord have mercy, we got to get the House and the Senate back first.
Yeah, it's going to be disappointing. It's going to be very disappointing, Dee, if 2 years from now we find that the whole 4 years he's going to have control over the House and the Senate. If he has control over the House and Senate for the entire four-year period, we're going to see some troubling things, especially if he doesn't get impeached before that time.
Well, we don't have an election for our two Republican people until 2021. So that's two votes he has right there.
Wow, that's incredible. So they're not even up for re-election in the next 2 years?
No, sir. No, sir. The next major election across the United States is 2018, but theirs is not, I can't remember how that how that played out. But the next one is 2021. Maybe they were just elected.
And you know,
maybe
the midterm elections are less populated. That's not the right term. But fewer people come out to the midterm elections than they do the presidential elections. So we're really going to have to work hard to get people to come out during the midterm election.
That awareness campaign, they need it. We've got to
Well, I think the turnout is, you got a lot of Republicans are so upset with him. So I think there's going to be some big changes down the pike. You know, the more educated people, and then even the ones, particularly the ones who he's messing with. He's going to eventually mess with the Medicare, Medicaid program, but there's going to be some hike there. So you're going to get a lot of people very discouraged about that and upset. And he already has people upset about the health care. So all of this is going to change. The ball is, I personally believe that things are going to be changing, and he's not going to be there for the continued the term.
Thank you for that, Virginia. We needed that. Thank you.
Well, it's important that we recognize that we're going to have to do what we can to encourage our young people and everybody to get out to make a decisive difference in what's presently going on. Because if we don't, again, the message being sent down right now is, you look at all these Jewish cemeteries that are being attacked and defaced. Next is going to be African Americans. You're going to find churches being bombed and things of that nature. So we are giving these people on the lowest level, if we don't change the direction of these people by voting, they're going to think they got the right to just continue to do what they're doing. Let me ask you, what is the present status of that court situation going on in South Carolina?
Which court situation?
With the murder of those 9 people. Did he get the death penalty?
Yes, he did. But they are appealing it, and they've opened some files, which I think I told you all was going to happen, finding out that he had all sorts of mental illnesses as a child growing up. But they've also shown where they looked at a GPS on his phone. And after he did what he did at this church, he drove past another church and stopped. And they could tell from the GPS tracking or something on his cell phone that he did that. But they're going to appeal it. He's not going to die anytime soon. No time soon.
Well, what do you think the message is that's being sent? Do you think that because of the trial that the people there are going to be encouraged to stop that kind of behavior, or are some other young people going to be encouraged to do similar things?
Well, when you're mentally ill, I don't think that you think. You're very impulsive. And so if a person is mentally ill, they're not going to they're not going to think about what somebody else did and say, okay, this is what happened to him, so maybe I shouldn't do that. That's not even in their thought process. So if you're mentally ill, you're going to do it.
And this environment doesn't help. I mean, it seems like in this type of environment that they're going to be encouraged to show their racist attitudes and behaviors.
Exactly.
Excuse me, are we talking about Dylann Roof?
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't he sentenced to die?
Yes, he was, but he also, you know, didn't have a chance to appeal.
And so you're telling me that. So in your observation there in South Carolina, you're telling me that this move to appeal has momentum?
It doesn't have to have, you know, momentum. All it really takes is for the attorneys to, and I think you can automatically appeal a death sentence. That's automatic. So you don't have to have, like, momentum, but you can say that it's his right.
That is
scary,
though.
Everybody can be against that, but if everybody's against it, it's still his right.
And that's
the
scary.
Other thing, D, you know we recently had a man go into a bar and shoot two Indian guys and tell them they needed to go back to their own country. So that seems to be an increased movement of violence related to these Americans who think somehow we've taken their country. As they focus on Jewish people, focus on immigrants, the next thing is, hey, you Africans need to go back to your country.
Mm-hmm.
After the people, the two guys in the bar, we had one, I believe it was here, I just read it, a Patel, and he was shot. If he was shot and killed, if he was going into his house.
Well, I got a question for you all. You know, for the longest time, forever and ever, the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan, and the like, have been warning us about this. Do you all think, as a group, as a panel on this show, that we should have paid more attention to them? Just a question.
Well, I think you've said it before, that there are a lot of good things that have been said by Farrakhan, but because he was so far to the left, you know, it was hard to embrace everything. If you could embrace some of the good things without the bad things, it may be okay. But I think that the fact is that what we're seeing, and I used to believe, D, I seriously used to believe that we had turned the corner when we elected Barack Obama 2 terms. But now I see that the pendulum is swinging back, and those people are out there with those same racist viewpoints. We haven't got rid of them. And when one of George's friends, one who calls in, when her neighbor is 32 years old, who is still a racist, you see that here a 32-year-old who had not been through the civil rights movement, why would she be a racist? So racism seemingly does not have an end to it, even after we get rid of the people who benefited from it. So it continues to grow despite integration. Joyce, what are your thoughts about that? That the racism continues to grow even with the people who are younger than your son. Are you there, Joyce? So, how do you think we're going to get rid of this racism
I think they had,
as we try to move forward and your kids become adults?
Well, I think our young people are involved way more than they should be. I really thought that the change would take place with our young generation, but that is not the case, because you find a lot of these young kids now that are doing some of the terrible things, too, that's being provoked. And I think it comes from the home. But here they had, and I think it went nationally, where they had nigger written over each. They had each had on a T-shirt spelled out with the word nigger on it.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Okay, so we have issues that are still there. What is that telling you? These are young kids. These are high school kids. And it's just, it has still infiltrated. And I think what we've all decided that we have to catch our young kids early, that will make a change. Because once they, once they're a certain age group, you know, they're there. Their minds are all set, and they about know what, how they're going to think. And they, but we need to curtail this at a younger age.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back and have our final word. Kathy, I'm going to go to you first. What is your final word for this evening, Kathy?
I love you guys, and we're going to be all right.
Kathy, I tell you what, I hope you are so right. We're into our third month, and we got a long way to go into this year. I am assured that you're going to be saying the same thing in in month 9, but we're gonna see. Okay, Steve, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, James, I'm forced by choice to go in this captain mode. Okay, 10 years ago, a little less than 10 years ago, I started a new family. My wife and I, we started a new family. So I have other priorities and other interests. So I'm going to go into the grown man mode and stay where I'm supposed to stay at. I'm going to go into the reserve of avoiding confrontations, you know, de-escalating a situation even before it gets started. Keep it a smile on my face and keeping the demeanor to where I don't seem to be threatened or threatening to anybody. So in doing that, playing the cards of life in the grown man sense of the word, the way it's supposed to be played. You know, some battles, all battles don't have to be fought by everybody. I'm sure there are enough soldiers out there to bring this thing to a head. So I'm going to stay in my place and stay in God's hand and keep my family close and teach my children what they need to know coming up in this world, because situations like these have a tendency to repeat themselves. So when their time comes in life where they have to encounter situations such as these, they'll know how to deal with them. I love y'all. Thank you.
All right. Joyce, what is your final thoughts for this evening?
I would like to say, Dee, very well said. What I would like to see possibly in the future is to have more classes, beginning small all the way up to high school, elementary, more cultural classes to change mindset and for people to know how different people live and their beliefs so they have a good, better understanding. I think that has a lot to do with it when we segregated and, but you know, we all sewn together, but you got so many different cultures. So I would like to see that taught more in the classroom. And I think that's much needed. But Dee, very well said. I agree with you 100%.
All right. Regina, your final thought?
Thank you for that. Was that Joyce? Thank you for that segue. I wanted to let you guys know that I saw today in the Huffington Post that Harvard University will be offering an online class which teaches about religious diversity and teaches about various religions, and it's going to be an online class. So that may be something interesting. I know I'm interested in it. I want to also thank you guys for keeping this in the forefront, and I want to thank Kathy for keeping God in the forefront of all of this.
Amen.
Because after we've been stirred up with the conversation, we still need to remember who is in charge.
Amen.
And
she, oh yeah,
so eloquently does that each night. So thank you. If you don't say anything else, in my opinion, that's the most important thing to be said.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just want to say to you, all you guys, it is so important for us to continue to be use this platform to share our thoughts and our ideas. To stay on top of what's going on politically, to stay on top of what's going on in our communities, to stay on top of what's going on in our spirits, and so that we use this platform to share our thoughts with everyone in regards to how committed we are to taking the steps necessary to keep our government on the right track. You know, we have to fight and fight to keep control and make people recognize that this is our country too. You know, there's just too many people who believe that America belongs to them. And until they're willing to share America with all of us, we just cannot rest. And again, I thought we had gone, we turned the corner when we elected Barack Obama to two terms, but there seems to be people out there who just don't want to our country to take a different direction. So I appreciate you all calling in. I appreciate you all being a part of the show. I want to encourage those of you who are out there listening, go to www.jamestdeshay.com. That's JamesTDeshay.com. That's my website. Make your comments and look around and write me at djames82@aol.com. djames82@aol.com. So we know what kind of things you'd like to talk about. And we want to encourage you to call into the show. That's 657-383-0309. 657-383-0309. Call into the show. Tomorrow the show will be starting 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Remember, on Saturdays and Sundays, both shows will be at 8 o'clock Western, East Coast Time, and 3 o'clock West Coast Time. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, that's it. She's a little pussy, that's it, baby. Hey, Mom, what's your mama gonna say?
She's having a spot like this, yeah.
Sing mom, 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 sing in the garden. Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof?
Get it on.